When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Yep. It's a beautiful day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. He's Mark Cabali, the Kaboom. I'm Chris Mack, just a guy, and here we are on Cabali and Mack. Happy Friday, people. It is day five of Rodgers' watch. It continues. Maybe he's wandering somewhere else other than a beach today. Who could really know? But we'll talk about it and what it may or may not mean for the Steelers as Russell Wilson leaves Cleveland without a contract and heads to New York today to visit with the Giants. We'll talk about the four guys that all introduced themselves on the South Side yesterday, but the big names were DK, Slay, and Kenny G, as Kenneth Gainwell said you could call him. And we've got a very special mystery guest joining us at around 11 o'clock or so. So thanks to all of you for joining us. Business to take care of. First and foremost, thanks to our friends, the Dan Heck Team. HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, with a beautiful new black and gold logo down the bottom of the screen there, Kaboom.
I didn't even notice that.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, looking
black
good.
And yellow. Black and yellow.
Yeah, I think black and yellow, black and yellow.
Who was that? Slayer Metcalf corrected himself.
Black and yellow, or gold, or whatever. Whatever. The two colors you like to wear all the time. You're looking to buy or sell a home in Pittsburgh? HeckTeamHomes.com. H-A-E-C-K. The Dan Heck Team going to take care of you. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the whole crew. Ready to take care of you and either help you sell a home, buy a home, or do both, whatever it may be. They'll take care of you. So thanks again to the Dan Heck Team for their support of Cabali and Mack. And a reminder, over the next couple of weeks, we'll roll it out slowly day by day. But Dan Heck, providing Cabali and Mack listeners with opportunities to get a raffle ticket for this Ford F-150 STX, the brand new one that Whitehall Fire Company is raffling off. WhitehallFire301.com if you want to buy one yourself. But keep an eye on our social media over the next few days. We'll start rolling out opportunities for you to win tickets. They're $45 if you want to buy one. And again, this is a big boy truck. This is a pretty little girl sitting right there on the lot outside of the Whitehall Fire Hall on 51. WhitehallFire301.com to buy your ticket, or we'll get some giveaways going here in just the next couple of days. Also, as soon as we get to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, Kaboom, it's going to pop off. We're going to give away that autographed Jerome Bettis jersey to somebody that reposts the social media posts announcing that Jerome Bettis giveaway. We put them out there yesterday and tags three friends. Make sure you're all subscribed to the podcast as well on YouTube. A signed Bettis jersey. You know who kind of reminds you of Bettis just a little bit in the way he runs the ball? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Are you going to answer me? Are you not hearing me?
I had you on mute. Sorry.
You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. I said, you know who reminds me of Bettis just a little bit, the way he runs the ball?
Who's that?
Kyle Juszczyk, just a little bit. Big old body ramming up there through the middle.
You literally had to have me answer that question. Who's that? That's what you were all upset about?
No, just the fact that I was speaking for a solid minute and you had me on mute the whole time.
I did not have you on mute. Full disclosure, I was checking out the YouTube page to see what numbers we were, and it was a little bit of a delay from the YouTube to this.
So
I put it mute. So I was going to say, well, we're on number 672. So we went up about, you know.
Is that what we're at?
672? In about a day, so you better get on that. That's what I was going to say. But since you are trying to embarrass me, so.
I didn't. You tried to embarrass me by putting me on mute. Unacceptable. We'll get to our massive special guest in about 15, 20 minutes or so. He's going to pop on and talk about a number of different things he's working on. He may be in town soon. Maybe. But it's really cool that we had an opportunity to kind of hook up with him, link up with him, and get him on the show. And we just got a lot to get to, Kaboom, because Aaron Rodgers is wandering the beach in Malibu in a blanket, still hasn't decided anything. So Rodgers' watch can continue, but we got a backup quarterback, if nothing else. Mason's back, baby. Mason Rudolph, 2 years. What was it, $8 million, $4 million a year?
Yeah. I didn't see the actual breakdown of the contract, but it's reported 2 for $8 million. So bring him back. And I mean, I know he wanted to come back. Put it this way, to have an opportunity, his best opportunity to start, he believed is here, because you're going to either have a soon-to-be 42 or soon-to-be 37-year-old quarterback in front of you. And that's not a bad gig to have when you have two older gentlemen potentially as your starting quarterback. So, I mean, good for him coming back, getting an opportunity here to potentially play this year. And who knows? I mean, who knows? Right now, it's 100% I'm the backup quarterback. That's what they told him. That's what he's expecting. But who the heck knows how this actually plays out? Yeah, we might get to September, and who knows? And before you know it, number two's out there. So,
well, that's, I mean, there might, he might not end, even end up being number two. He might be number one, no offense to Mason, by default, because they don't go out and find a quarterback that they deem ready to play over him, i.e. Rodgers decides to do something else and Russ signs in Cleveland or New York.
I think Russ is just waiting. Just waiting. They want the veteran quarterback, man. They want the veteran quarterback who can come in here and potentially stabilize the offense. They would much rather have Aaron because he's – I mean, we've talked about this, and he's – we've seen what Russ can do.
Right.
Can we get it to another level with Aaron Rodgers? Potentially, yes. Potentially, no. But I think they're willing to take that chance. And, you know, if Russell just happens, just say this happens, to sign in New York, I mean, you can wait for as long as you want now, right? Where else is Rodgers going to go? I find it – I mean, I guess on the surface it's enticing if Minnesota would be involved. But if you're Brett – if you're – Aaron Rodgers, do you want to follow in Brett Favre's footsteps 100%? I find that hard to believe that you want to go from Green Bay to the Jets, where you fell to Minnesota. I mean, plus you have the first round pick sitting there. It just seems like that would be a long, long, long shot to me.
Does it matter if they pay him well enough and he gets to work with some really good receivers? I mean, that's the question, is like, what is Aaron Rodgers' motivation to play another couple of years? Is it really, I want to win a championship? Like,
it have to be. I mean,
okay, but in that case, is the better scenario in Minnesota or here in Pittsburgh? I mean, we'll rule out the Giants for now. I mean, Minnesota was this close to the one seed in the NFC last year.
Yeah, but now I think the only clear-cut better, would you look at between the two, is, you know, the offensive coordinator / head coach, the play caller, so to speak.
Yeah.
I think that goes without saying there. I think everything else is pretty much in place. They've added some pieces on defense, but I think you can compare the two rosters similar, whatever that word is.
Similarly.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's always somewhat about money. So, regardless of how much money you have, it's always about it to a degree. But
yeah, but if everybody's willing to meet his price and the opportunities were all created equal, I mean, I guess
I wouldn't want to go to Minnesota. I wouldn't want to go to Minnesota following Brett Favre's footsteps 100% and have a number one pick that is your future, where you might have a crappy game week two and you're like, here comes J.J. McCarthy. I wouldn't want that.
That's fair. Plus, you get caught up if you're Aaron Rodgers in the whole mentoring thing again, like he did with Jordan Love, although he seems to have handled that pretty well, at least better than Favre did back in the day with him.
What is mentoring? You don't have time to mentor people during the season. You're trying to get your own stuff in order, your own chicken, you know, worry about your own chicken, as Marshawn Lynch would say.
Nobody's calling this an Obi-Wan Luke Skywalker situation here.
Is you, I mean, the mentoring stuff is just weird. Okay, if he comes over to you and says, hey, Aaron, what does this mean? He goes, go F yourself. That's different. But if he says,
but that's essentially what Favre did to Rodgers, like, at least according to the Enigma documentary, right? Like, Favre was extremely distant with Rodgers, went out of his way to not really connect with him when he first came in, didn't want to necessarily help. And again, that's Favre's prerogative. That's any starting quarterback's prerogative who has a rookie drafted who is seemingly going to be their heir apparent, right? And I got no problem if you want to treat him that way. I just think it's much better for the younger quarterback to have a veteran who's open to having some level of relationship, even if it's just professional, with that young quarterback to say, hey, this is what I saw. You know, be a little bit more open in meeting rooms to discussing what they're working on. Things like, nobody's asking him to teach him how to use the force. And like, seriously, just don't be a dick to the kid. That's all we're asking for when we talk about veteran quarterbacks being mentors to young quarterbacks. Just don't be a dick.
Yeah. Speaking of mentors, apparently George Pickens is going to be a mentor to DK Metcalf, right? Well, he's a pro, DK Metcalf. Yeah, I'll help him out. Well, I can learn from him too. He's like, okay.
He's buttering him up.
No, he's making sure he doesn't hurt his feelings and
what. Yeah, he's playing nice. See, that's in effect what I'm talking about there. Know how to play the game and be willing to do so, and don't be a dick. It's that simple. And if, you know, Favre had not been that way to Rodgers early on in his career, maybe this wouldn't even be a story that we talk about in relation to Aaron Rodgers. But Russ did leave Cleveland without a deal and does go to New York to meet with the Giants today. You said you really think Russ is just sitting around waiting for the Steelers to tell him yes or no?
I think so.
I mean, wow.
You're going to really win in New York? I don't think so.
Not going to win in Cleveland, most likely.
Well, who wants to go to Cleveland?
That too.
So, I mean, if he has to, I guess pure speculation that he would obviously sign with the Giants. I mean, we don't know if what the Steelers said to him too. Hey, man, if you got an opportunity, you better sign somewhere. But I mean, all the belief is of people you talk to, or I've talked to, is that Rodgers is going to eventually come to Pittsburgh. That is the overwhelming belief.
Without giving anything away, are those people
if that's going to actually happen?
Are those people that work down on the South Side, or
source is
it's big season? It's sources season.
Source is.
so multiple people then.
What they believe, and what actually occurs are two things.
That's fair. I'm just saying, if people within the building at 34 South 100 Water Street, at least a few of them have the feeling, and they're close enough to the situation as one can be with Aaron Rodgers. Nobody's really all the way close to the situation because the dude's his own, as the title of the documentary says, enigma. But if multiple people down there think it's still most realistic that he comes to Pittsburgh, okay, I'll buy into their confidence just a little bit if it's genuine and not misplaced, just to project an air of, hey, don't worry, we actually know what the hell we're doing and we're not going to end up without a starting quarterback this year. Okay, I'll grant them. I just don't know how long we have to sit here and wait. Like, that's the thing. I do find it funny. Like, back in the day, did you put me on mute again?
No, okay. The neighbor just sent me a message telling me that the other neighbor's moving like a month after they moved in, and now they're having an estate sale.
Wait, you're in a brand new neighborhood, aren't you?
Yeah, I think somebody got doged.
Oh, yikes.
I think. I'm not quite sure.
Ooh, that's rough. Or they just didn't like living next to you. I mean,
I think they live right up the street here.
That's a possibility, too. So, yeah, as long as they legit think they're still going to land him and they don't care. I just don't understand how they can be totally comfortable sitting here and waiting. Like, sitting here and waiting.
Right now.
What's that?
I don't think they have much of a choice.
Well, yeah, they do. They could tell Aaron Rodgers to piss off and just sign Russ.
Wow, now we want Russ.
No. I'm saying if you get tired of just sitting around and waiting and having your entire offseason in a holding pattern, you could go, I can't deal with this anymore. If I see this guy wandering a beach in a shaman's blanket one more time, I'm done. I can't, like, just tell us, do you want to play football? And if so, do you want to play football for us or not? Or we got to move on. We got to make sure we got a starting quarterback next year, Aaron. It's been nice. I hope you enjoyed the fruit basket we sent, but we're done here.
Yeah, I hear you. But I mean, at this point, I think they want to move on from Russ. They don't want to move on from him, but they would prefer.
They just think they can do better. They think they can do better with Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, like I've said before, they, even though the belief is that this team is far away, the Steelers don't feel that way. I mean, just look at the people that they signed. A lot of them have experience. A lot of people have Super Bowl experience. A lot of them have playoff experience. So, I mean, their actions are speaking very loudly. And what better to move that forward than have a four-time MVP, even though he's 41, soon to be 42, and past his prime. So there's no belief in rebuilding.
We'll just sit and we'll wait. And we will wait. Don't wait to get a hold of Southwest Greens. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. That was a Pompeiani level segue by me there, by the way. Southwestgreenspa.com. And make sure you get your yard taken care of, because if you're anything like me, you don't like mowing the grass. You don't like watering it in the middle of the summer when it's dead and yellow or brown. You don't like all the stuff you got to go through to take care of your lawn. Get a lawn with Bupkis, zero maintenance. An artificial lawn that looks great. It'll be the best looking yard in the neighborhood. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Tell them Kabali and Mac sent you. Even if you don't want to do the whole yard, even if you just want to do a corner of the yard where the kids play, maybe around their swing set or something, or I don't know, a little area for the pet or an area for you to practice golf. They'll put a little tiny putting green in the corner of the yard if you want. They can do anything, only limited by your imagination. Go to SouthwestGreensPA.com. They'll get you taken care of, as it's the most beautiful day of the year so far, and spring is rapidly approaching. Kaboom. It's a drive with the windows down kind of day.
Yeah, it's going to be cool on Monday maybe, but that's about it. So,
yeah, spring is here, so get it taken care of. You mentioned DK Metcalf lavishing a little bit of praise on George Pickens. I want to work in reverse, though. I want to work our way up to DK. Maybe almost work our way chronologically through the day yesterday, because DK didn't speak till like 5:30. Let's start with Kenny G. Kenneth Gainwell. What, was that your get-go cup? What was that?
That was my DK reference, but go ahead.
Good work by you. Kenneth Gainwell. He spoke yesterday. Aside from saying that, you can call him Kenny G if you want. What did you say?
His birthday too. Happy birthday, Kenneth.
Oh, Gainwell. No way.
You know you're watching the program.
Program. Kenny G, happy birthday, pal. How you think he ultimately fits into this thing? Because I still see it as Warren is 1A, and then Kenny G is like a third down back, and I don't know how Patterson really fits in.
Turner. Yeah. If you see his strengths are obviously catching the ball out of the backfield, pass protect, kick return. So he's going to basically fill that role of Warren. This is a guy's never had more than, I believe, 85 carries in the season. So I don't think you're going to come in here and think he's going to be a 50-50 kind of a split there for him. But he brings a different dynamic than Warren does. I mean, it's almost like, you know, lightning and thunder or whatever that goofy name you had for the guys in Detroit.
I didn't come up with it. Sonic and Knuckles.
Yeah, Sonic and Boom. I like that one better. But
yeah, I figured you would. But yeah, I mean,
that's what he's going to be. The role player, I think now Cordarrelle Patterson's on his way out.
You think he's not here?
Until after the draft. They have to make sure they have somebody in his place. If it's a draft, if it's a guy later in free agency.
Gotcha.
You don't just cut a guy and just say, oh, there's a hole here. You have to make sure you have at least have somebody in place. So I would imagine he would be on his way out, because where is he going to fit right now? I mean, you've got your kick returner. You got your punt returner in Austin. You got your third down back. unless they want him as a backup type of running back to spell Warren. Well,
but I think your point is very valid, and probably the way they look at it and think about it, which would be, all right, we have Patterson under contract. If we have like an Omarion Hampton, the North Carolina running back, drop to us in like the third round, maybe we jump on it then.
People are talking about top 20 for him.
Yeah, that's a bit much. I wouldn't go that far. But maybe, just maybe, that would make sense. But I don't think if they happen to find a running back in the draft, great. If not, then to your point, they have the three guys in place that they can roll.
Probably at a cheaper price too, because I think Patterson might be $3 million. I mean, you can get somebody in here for vet minimum of 1.2, and with displacement and all that crap, it's probably like 800 grand, so 900 grand. So you can save some cash there.
All right, let's hold off our talk on the other guys they introduced yesterday, in particular, big play Slay, Darius Slay, and DK Metcalf, obviously, our super secret, very special, huge guest has checked in a couple minutes early, and we got to welcome him in. This is massive. I can't believe we pulled this off. Jeremy Piven, ladies and gentlemen, is on Kabali and Mac. How are you, my friend?
I'm great, man. How are you guys doing?
We're doing awesome. Thank you for doing this.
Listen, it's my honor. I'm coming to town, and I wanted to get the word out. And I'm a huge sports fan, so we have a lot to talk about.
Like I was telling Mac, Jeremy, the first thing I texted you after you gave me a little buzz there, I don't think you were expecting that one. I said, big fan of yours, especially in the movie Lucas. When was the last time you heard about Lucas? And I do. I love Lucas. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Well, listen, we don't want your fine tuners to just start falling off right now. We want them to remind them how in God's name you went deep into the crates. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That, I mean, it would be like you pulling up DK Metcalf's junior high school photo and saying, hey, guys, remember this shot. You know what I mean? That was a very obscure reference, and I appreciate it. And people don't realize that I do stand-up. And for me, it's funny because after my shows, they come up to me and they say, we didn't know you were this funny, which is the ultimate backhanded compliment because I've been doing comedy, as you guys know, for a long time, over 80 movies and won awards for playing Ari Gold. But listen, it's a shot in the arm for me because this is me on a mic making people laugh for a solid hour. And we need this right now. You know, not a lot makes sense out there. So we need to get out there and laugh, for the love of God. We don't have that Metcalf money. You know what I'm saying?
No, none of us do. Jeremy Piven at the Byam Theater in Pittsburgh, Friday, March 21st. So that's a week from today. You can get tickets by going to trustarts.org. He's, as he mentioned, going on a stand-up tour of the U.S. You've been doing stand-up for a little bit now, Jeremy. Why now? Like you mentioned, aside from being a funny guy, like what made you say, hey, I'm an accomplished actor of like three decades now. I can play anything from, you know, Entourage all the way out to, you know, dramatic roles like The Performance, which is that movie that is that being re-released in theaters this spring, by the way? Because I saw it came out a couple years ago.
It didn't come out yet. It's my passion project that I've been after for over a decade, and it's the best work of my life, and it hasn't come out yet. And as soon as I know, I'm coming back on this show, whether you like it or not.
Yes.
And I'm coming to Pittsburgh, and we're going to release it because it took me a long time to put this together. And you know, I've been doing other people's work and so grateful for my whole life. And finally I went, I got to do my own stuff. And to answer your question as why stand up, it's like I'm in the UK, I'm in London right now, and I just wrapped this movie. And you know, movies are a miracle, and it's hard to get them made and find the money and get them released and all that stuff. But now I get to jump on a plane and head to Pittsburgh, pick up a microphone, and make people laugh. I don't need, you know, anyone's to co-sign on me. We don't need to raise $8 million. I just get to make people laugh in real time. And that's pretty exciting to me. And I'm getting older. You know, this is how you know you're getting older. I used to look at a woman in a short skirt. I would say, God damn, she's hot. Now I look at her and I go, I wonder if she's cold because I'm old. You know what I'm saying? I'm older, gentlemen.
You need a blanket, hon?
Right. Can I knit you some leggings? You know what I mean?
I'm curious, Jeremy, about the stand-up. Obviously, yeah. You're a very accomplished actor, but you're out there on your own by yourself. There's no cut, let's do this again. Now, is that a rush or is that, you know, gets on, it's a little nervous getting out there and, you know, the spotlight's on you and whatever comes out of your mouth comes out of your mouth. There's no reduce.
You know, I'm gonna quote a conversation that I had with Russell Wilson because I like to name drop. Don't worry about it. No, he said to me, he did a cameo on Entourage, and he's a great guy and an elite quarterback. And I'm sorry that he's going to be leaving Pittsburgh. Is that correct?
We don't know yet. We don't know.
He's a tremendous athlete. And he said to me one time, he said, you know, when you're acting, each take, is it regular season? Is it playoffs or is it Super Bowl? And I kid you not, without hesitating, I said it's Super Bowl. And by the way, I don't even know if that's a good thing, you know, because I'm very hard on myself and I have never taken a dive in any way, shape or form. And I go as hard as I can. And, you know, maybe it's exhausting and maybe I should slow down or shut up or something. But I'm just not a fan of mediocrity. I just feel like if you're lucky enough to occupy the space that you do when you're working, you have to make the most of it. And so with anything I do with stand-up, it's like I've been training for this my whole life. I mean, I got up on stage at 8 years old. I started improvising. You know, I did straight theater and studied Shakespeare and went to conservatories and toured with Second City with Chris Farley in the 90s doing sketch comedy. And, you know, with Entourage for a decade, I was always pitching lines and trying to work it out. So now I get the microphone and I get my own forum and it's like I'm a one man band, and be careful what you wish for because you'll get it all and you'll have it all. And I love that. And I love the pressure. And even as an actor, I'd love to kill a take one and have them printed and be like, we got it. But then I'll still ask for three more, you know, to see if I can beat it. So for me on the mic, everyone, I love the expectations. I love the pressure. It's really fun. It's such a gift every time you get up there. And the Byam Theater, like, that's a big theater, and you know, and we're filling it up. People got to go fast, and you know, it's a Broadway size house, and that's where I live and I thrive. So I can't wait.
Yeah, Jeremy's going to be at the Byam Theater Friday, March 21st. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see that on the screen right now. Trustarts.org to get your tickets. Just a week left to grab them and see a guy who we've seen on the screen for years. Like, you mentioned working with Farley at Second City way back in the day when you were coming up. You grew up in a city that was like, that is known for improv comedy. Second City, being in Chicago. You've worked with other, you know, you worked with Spade on PCU, a cult classic favorite of mine. By the way, PCU, what do you think sent you in the vein of, you've always done comedy like those guys, but you've also got this ability. And I mentioned the performance earlier because I saw the trailer and, you know, the screening, the festival screening that happened a couple years ago. But what do you think gave you that ability to sort of flip the switch and do something serious like that while keeping that comedy vein alive?
I mean, it's, you know, not, it's hard not to sound self-celebratory when I answer this question, so forgive me, but I've been on stage for half a century, and growing up in the Piven Theater, my mom passed away recently, and growing up being taught by my parents, and knowing that there is no difference between comedy and tragedy, that they exist in every and any moment, you know what I mean, and they live simultaneously, so I've always done the straight stuff and the comedy, and they've lived, you know, harmoniously. And so, like, I just really believe, like, listen, the performance is a dramatic turn and it's the best work of my life. And then I can grab a microphone and do comedy. And it's just part of my background. It's part of who we all are, to be honest with you. There's nothing different or special about me. I just was allowed to get up on stage and be ridiculous. And, I was allowed to fail. And my parents told me that, like, when they put us up on stage as kids, you know, I was up on stage at 8 years old with John Cusack when we were in Chicago. And they just said, listen, just remember, you're enough. No matter what you think or say, you're enough. Get up there and have some fun. And you're like, wait, I'm enough? And it's very empowering. And we all need a little more of that in our lives. So I love to do it all. And it's really, really fun. And, I can't wait to come back and have this conversation with you guys after you've seen my stand up and you realize what it is, because I get to do impressions. I talk about, you know, working with Mike Tyson and him taking massive amounts of mushrooms, and he and I interviewing Saquon Barkley while he was peaking on mushrooms, and Saquon panicked as you know what I mean? And,
How do you find yourself in that situation interviewing Saquon alongside a shrooming Mike Tyson? How does that even happen?
They interviewed me for Hot Boxing, and I really connected with Mike, and I've known Mike for decades because I'm a huge fan, and he did Entourage, and Mike is a Buddha, and he's had this beautiful life, and he really loves mushrooms. You know, he loves plant-based medicine, and he takes handfuls of mushrooms and just goes, throw me, and he goes, it's just a microdose. I go, that's not a microdose, sir, that's a macrodose. You're peaking on mushrooms. And then he would just ask Saquon the most, like, you know, intense questions, and Saquon was panicking. And then he realized, you know, if you look it up on YouTube on Hotboxing, it's such a beautiful interview, because Mike is tripping his balls off, and Saquon just came off of ACL surgery, and he's just trying to answer the questions, you know, pretty straight ahead. You know, who are you, basically? Who are you? He goes, well, you know, I'm Saquon. I'm a running back right now. And he goes, no, who the fuck are you? And then he was like, what's going on, man? I was like, no, it's all right. It's going to be all right. So I love these moments. I love unpacking all of that on stage. I mean, Mike interrupted when I was playing the gay Versace salesman in Rush Hour. He was on set shopping, didn't realize that we were filming. Like, I unpacked an entire story. What it's like to do lines with my mom. I mean, run lines. I run lines with Joyce Piven. Yeah, it's just really an excuse to make people laugh, have a great time, and selfishly let people know who I am. You know, you guys have done your homework. You know that I'm not Ari Gold. You know I'm an actor. And some people think I'm Ari Gold. And I unpack all that on stage as well. What it's like for people to say, hey, yeah, I'm a douchebag because of you, bro. Hey, call my wife a rusty cunt bucket. I got her on FaceTime.
Have you ever talked to Ari Emanuel, who I've heard is the basis of the character, about, yeah, like, does he love it? Does he think you went over the top with it? What?
You know, what I was told is, because listen, the irony is, you know, I'm just a stage actor from Chicago. That's what I am. And he is a titan of business. He is the top of the game. He's beyond an agent now. He's the high watermark for all entrepreneurs, you know, owning, among other things, the UFC, WWE, WME, every three-letter word, the FBI. I don't know who he's with at this point. But, you know, they all said, listen, we know that you're doing well because it's silent from them. And we know you're killing it in the stand-up game because all these stand-ups are quiet. If you were bombing, they'd be laughing their asses off. And the reality is, if we weren't getting it right, Ari would have come to us, and we were getting it right, and we were making it as authentic as possible, and at times maybe too authentic. You know what I mean? To be honest with you. And that's one of the reasons why people love the show, is it rang true. The highest vibration is authenticity. You know what I mean? And the show is really authentic, and Ari Gold lives, and his name is Ari Emanuel. And, you know, and he's living the dream. He gets to, for the most part, be, you know, he has his anonymity, and, you know, he gets to live his dream. I'm, you know, and he's a multi-billionaire, and I have $11 and I have no privacy. Enjoy.
Jeremy, we talk a lot about wrestling on this program. I contribute to the WWE as a writer, so we talk a lot about wrestling. I think you know where I'm going with this one. About 15 years ago, you were host of the Raw, and I do believe you climbed to the top rope and tried to splash John Cena. First of all, what kind of rush was that, being able to take part in a WWE event like that? I mean, that's all. You've always been a wrestling fan.
You know, it's funny you said that. As you were saying that, I was thinking, God, I wish I had a GoPro like on my head, because I want to give you the experience, because I'm on the top rope and I'm looking down at Cena, and the stadium is full. I got Dr. Ken, you know, from The Hangover, and we were promoting a film we did called The Goods. And I'm about to jump into Cena's arms. I'm about 177 pounds wet, and Cena's looking at me like, just jump. You know, I'm probably the lightest guy that has ever jumped off the ropes to him. And I thought, okay, he's probably thinking, I got to catch this guy. It was like catching a bag of sugar for him. It was nothing. And, those guys are total pros. And he and The Rock and all those guys are just, you know, they don't get enough credit for, they're really great at what they do. And they're total pros. And they're the kings of what they do. Now, you know, they're also making more money than any other actors. And that's a different conversation. And that is really due to their, I would say, their schmoozing and their social skills. I think these guys know how to work a room. I think they're wildly charismatic guys who have figured out a way to kind of like, you know, dominate in the Rock has never taken an acting class. He's the highest paid actor. I'm very bitter, as you can tell. I'm incredibly bitter. It's a skill set that I just really, you know, as an actor, I'm just a guy that has just grinded my whole life and tried to be the best actor that I possibly can, keep growing, keep getting better. And the schmoozing aspect of it wasn't a part of my game. And they are Olympian level schmoozers. They're the best in the game.
I don't see John Cena or The Rock spending 12 years learning how to tap dance to make a role more authentic. I mean, you got that much going for you.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the reality is I'm not bitter, because being bitter would be the lowest vibration and no good comes of it. I think it's funny. I love to talk about that on stage and unpack it and make people laugh. I don't know. I'm not a fan of mediocrity. So the reality about, you know, the 12 years tap dancing is every year they said no and we couldn't find the money for the performance. I kept grinding and I kept tapping. So I got better and better and better. And if you it's hard to beat a guy that doesn't give up. And when you see this film, you go, oh, okay, this is the best thing I've ever seen him do. Everyone said it. Best reviews of my life, you know. Variety saying career defining performance. That's 80 films into the game. You have to remember, I was 40 years old when I won the Fresh Face of the Year, and I've been acting for 32 years. My journey is different. I'm not saying it's better or worse. You know, I reveal that, you know, The Rock has never taken an acting class. That's a tribute to him that he's been able to do leads in films with no background as an actor and make more than, you know, double that Meryl Streep makes, you know. So say what you will, but that's what he's doing.
Jeremy, I just got a text message from somebody that said, ask him about his Aston Martin.
Man, I wish I had an Aston Martin. Has someone got an Aston Martin for me?
I don't know. He says, we took a spin once. I felt like James Bond for a few minutes.
Well,
he may be the backup quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, but
I had a Aston Martin that I was borrowing for a few minutes. So maybe in that small window of time, you know what I mean? But I would love to have that back.
Yeah, he said you took him for a ride and he felt like James Bond.
Yeah. I mean, that is a James Bond car, by the way. It's one of the best rides out there for sure. But listen, we got to give some love to DK Metcalf. You know, the Steelers, they know how to nurture and, you know, really get, you know, receivers into a place where, you know, they end up like, I don't know, who's listen, they've had some of the greatest, you know, starting with Lynn Swann. Mm-hmm. And then is there Antonio Brown? Is he in that discussion or is he?
Yeah.
Where,
yeah, I mean, before he completely went around the bend. Yeah, absolutely.
You said it. I didn't.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm cool with it. AB is a special character.
He really is. We miss him running routes right now. We miss him. He is very eccentric, and we celebrate him with the power of Christ, even though I'm Jewish.
That's the that's the nicest way to put it. Jeremy Piven's going to be at the Biome Friday, March 21st, a week from today. If you're watching this live, go to trustarts.org to get tickets. So Mark mentioned Mason Rudolph. Obviously, you know all the Steelers have done this offseason. You watch football. You're a fan. Did you grow up a Bears fan growing up in Chicago?
1,000%.
So that would have been really at the peak of, like, the Super Bowl shuffle, yeah. The Bears? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, man, I was so lucky as a Chicago fan. You have to understand, I watched Walter Payton on local TV every Sunday. So I've seen those highlights, like, that's me and my dad just, like, watching. Like, I got very lucky. Then I got to watch Michael Jordan and the Bears. And, you know, we're like you guys. We're really loyal. No matter what, we're there. We miss it. You know, I think Caleb is an elite quarterback, and he's hardworking, and we're going to see what happens. And, you know, I think you guys let go of Justin Fields, correct?
Yeah, off the Jets.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, Justin was a guy that we had, and it's really tough, as you guys know more than anyone. You know, it's crazy that in sports and even in entertainment, we haven't learned from our history. Like, you know, history tells us, I mean, if you look at Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, they apprenticed the job. They apprenticed the job until it was their moment. And they took over. And these kids, they throw them in as rookies. And it's like, you know, that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure for these kids. And, you know, Seinfeld was an absolute bomb until they switched it and found the right time slot and it blew up. They all thought it was a show about nothing that sucked. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's I just feel like if you've got something, you have to nurture it. Welcome to my TED Talk, boys.
No, I'm inspired now. I'm motivated now.
Let's go. Listen, I wanted to be a football player. There are now no 5'9", 177-pound Jewish linebackers in the NFL.
Why the hell not? That's the question. Why the hell not? If they've never tried it, how do we know it's not going to work, Jeremy?
You're right about that. I mean, the closest we came is Julian Edelman. I mean, I am, you know, a couple of big meals away from Julian's size. The only difference is he's an elite athlete and I'm viciously mediocre. Other than that, we are identical.
Pretty much the same. Yeah, pretty much exactly yeah. The same. We want to let you run because you're overseas and you got a lot going on, but we can't wait to see you next Friday night, man. Jeremy Piven.
Listen, if they mention you guys, let's give them a free meet and greet. Let's all hug it the fuck out. Can I swear on this?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Okay. All right, you little goddamn cunts. Let's hug it the fuck out.
we actually...
Listen, we have a new administration. You know what I'm saying? So stop being retarded. Let's say some words that we mean.
Exactly.
Yes. We welcome all the swear words possible.
Be careful. Man. Don't pull a knife unless you're going to use it, Mark.
Yeah. Jeremy, you're the best, man. Thanks for doing this. Can't wait to see you next Friday night. Seriously. Trustarts.org, the Biome Theater, Friday, March 21st. Come see one of the funniest. I'll swear too. How about that? I'll jump into the fray. Come see one of the funniest motherfuckers I've ever seen on film.
Let's go. I love you guys. I'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon, Jeremy. Thank you so much. Okay. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
That's amazing. Jeremy Piven just came on the show. Kaboom.
Yes, he's kind of a funny human being.
He's hilarious. I didn't even get to mention Old School to him either.
I don't think he liked my Lucas reference.
I knew the Lucas reference was going to be.
I didn't want to bring up his one line from the movie when he looked at Lucas and said, "Yeah, I think I got a hard on. I don't think you should bend over." So I wasn't going to bring that one up.
Oh, Jesus. That was amazing. As a huge fan of Entourage, as I am, that was just fantastic.
I sheepishly bowed out when you're talking Entourage, since I've never seen it one episode.
How are there all these amazing things that you've never seen?
I'm a sheltered human being. I don't know.
Why? How? Because you've been too busy working, covering sports, right?
What channel is it even on?
It's on HBO. Jesus.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I'm not paying for HBO. I'm too cheap.
We didn't have HBO down nor Bell Vernon. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, but I'm just not spending for it.
Oh, jeez. That was amazing, though. Go to trustarts.org to get tickets to see Jeremy Piven at the Byam Theater next Friday, March 21st. And yeah, maybe we'll make it a show trip. How about that? Does that sound good? Everybody can come on down and we'll see how many people we can get to meet Jeremy. Does that sound like a plan?
Sounds like a plan to me.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Thanks again to Jeremy for making that happen. As he's
in the UK, in London, just watching a movie. I wonder if any breaking news of the Saquon mushroom Mike Tyson thing, or if he's told that before.
That may be hitting YouTube very quickly as soon as the show's over, hitting the socials, as they say. Where were we? Oh, real quick, I want to thank, because I saw him in the comments lauding us for the Jeremy Piven interview. Tony and the guys at Impact HVAC. Go to Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. They'll get you taken care of. Get the AC tuned up before it gets legitimately hot out. I know you're going to get a little taste today. It's supposed to be close to 80 in Pittsburgh. In the next few weeks, it'll cool off again. But soon enough, you'll need the AC to cool things off. Make sure it's running ahead of time. So like Kaboom said yesterday, it doesn't go on the fritz as soon as you try to use it the first hot day. Get in touch with Impact HVAC. Facebook, Impact HVAC PGH. Get Tony and the guys out there to tune up the AC before the season hits. So
should we tell the people how the sausage is made here with the Jeremy Piven, or let them think? Let them
you were texting them all week, so
no, I'm just wondering how it all came down. She just
go ahead, explain yourself. So let me start with this basis. So I got an email a couple weeks ago about Jeremy Piven coming to town. And, you know, did any radio stations want to interview him? Da, 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 da. And immediately one of my coworkers at Y108, Maria, who's on in middays, she emailed back right away. She's like, yes, I'd love to have Jeremy on the show. So what you do in radio is if a colleague from the same station reaches back out, you back off and say, okay, you got it. You take the ball and run with it. And so I think she's having Jeremy on Monday, actually. But I backed off, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, like 3 days later, you text me and say, hey, would we want to have Jeremy Piven on the podcast? And I'm like, what? Yeah. I mean, I saw an email about it, but sure, I guess. And then you told me how you didn't get this email that I got. You got told about Jeremy coming to Pittsburgh in a completely different way.
Yeah. Maybe what day was it? Wednesday, Tuesday?
It was the beginning of the week. It might have been Monday.
I got a random text message from the current Steelers backup quarterback, Mason Rudolph, saying, hey, my good friend's coming to town. He could use some publicity on his show. I'm like, yeah, whatever you need, brother. You know, sure. I thought, whatever. He goes, yeah, his name's Jeremy Piven. I'm like, what?
What?
Yeah, I'll have him hooked up with you. A minute later, I get a text message from Jeremy Piven saying, hey, it's Jeremy Piv. Nice to meet you. And my response was, enjoy your work. Loved you in the movie Lucas.
That's the first thing you say to Jeremy Piven. Not Entourage, not any of the other massive movies he's been a part of.
Back and forth, texting, set it all up. And before you know it, it's 11 o'clock on a Friday and he's on the show.
Amazing. That's how the sausage is made, people. And that was before we had any idea that Mason was going to be signing back here in Pittsburgh.
Because he speaks well of you, so I thought I'd reach out to you. I'm like, okay. See, it's funny how things work. You know, the relationships you make with other people come full circle. And it's like, just because, you know, I knew Mason to a degree and he had knew Jeremy who put him in touch with me, that boom, here we go. I might have helped Jeremy get some interviews more around the city here.
That's awesome. So,
My back, we'll scratch yours. So it was all good. I mean, the WWE stuff was great because I do remember seeing it just like,
ragdolling them.
Just could have just grabbed them.
Yeah, it's amazing. And this also sets up that if you're still watching Mason, you're invited on the show as well anytime you want. I mean, anytime. What, you going to backpedal on this now?
Well, I'm not going to make any guarantees here, but we'll see.
No guarantees. Just,
no, I'm just looking at the
it out there that he's more than welcome to come on the show whenever he wants. Mason Rudolph.
We try to get a variety of people.
We'll yeah. See. I mean, this does do one thing in particular, and it pushes our friends Josh Yowie and Justin Labar farther down the power rankings of Cabali and Mac guests. You know, like they're slipping out of the top five now.
Yeah. Especially, what's his name? The Yinzer guy. What's his name again?
Mo from Cleveland.
Mo's out of the top five now.
See, I still have Mo ahead of, and I love Justin and Josh both, have known them for years. I have Mo ahead of both of them. He managed to get a terrible towel swirling in Cleveland on Netflix, on Raw. By all means, he's up the list farther than Yowie and Labar.
Well, we probably should get back to this football stuff before we got a rock and roll, huh?
Yeah, I guess. Let's talk DK Metcalf. We talked Kenny G, Kenneth Gainwell. I honestly didn't think there was anything massive to take away from what Darius Slay had to say, other than he's thought about Pittsburgh as a possible destination for a while. Again, people don't like to hear this, but players value a relationship with Mike Tomlin. And
every single year by every single player. I don't know if that's something that's just cool to say nowadays or it seems to me there's something to it. I mean,
no, I think
the person that comes here says that same thing.
And I think you can almost tie it back into what you just said. And this is serious. What we just said about maintaining relationships, and we end up getting Jeremy Piven on the show, right?
I wonder if that is one of the reasons why Tomlin goes to pro days, combines.
More to maintain relationships,
Yeah, just say, hey, you know, just talk. And when it comes around 3 or 4 years, more than just say scouting, you know. I mean,
yeah. Didn't DK mention it yesterday also? Didn't he mention his pro day or combine interview with Mike T? So, like, these guys meet Mike Tomlin and talk to him at a pro day or a combine or a senior bowl, whatever the event may be. And he starts that relationship there. And then, you know, he might see him at the end of a game after they play against each other. And he, you know, says hello, a handshake at midfield, whatever it may be, and keeps it going until eventually someday that guy's available. And Darius Slay is here in Pittsburgh now for $10 million bucks, which is a bargain for a guy of his pedigree.
Just think about it now. Tomlin's been around, 18 years now? These guys coming up in this free agency period or 25 to 32-ish, you're looking prime time age, man, when you're growing up loving football and you got this coach. I mean, to a degree, back in the day when say a guy like Don Shula. I mean, I know it's a different type of era, but a guy that you like, oh, my goodness. Or, well, putting out Belichick, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the guy's won so much. The guy's been around. The guy's been on TV, Super Bowls, and all of a sudden you remember seeing him when you were 12 or 13, and now he's talking to you at the pro day, and now he wants you. I mean, that has something to do with it, a lot of this. But I think it's – I just don't think it's a coincidence that everybody says this.
No, it's not. It's the relationship maintenance part of
what's got him. Not much. What's got him was not much recently, but.
But again, people don't like to hear it because nobody directly correlates having a good relationship with players on other teams to winning games now. And I understand that's outside the realm of basic math. It's more algebra, which even you, Kaboom, have had trouble with over the years.
No.
But it makes sense that when Darius Slay or DK Metcalf hear about the possibility of going to Pittsburgh, they still align that in their head with, man, I had a great meeting with Mike Tomlin. I think I might like to play for that guy, or at least have a chance to talk about playing for that guy. So it still does matter. I don't know how much Slay is going to be here to mentor. You don't like that term, but bring along Joey Porter Jr. But I think he could teach
him stuff just through, you know, better, lack of better word, osmosis, right? He talks about how much he loves to watch film. He could tell you every weakness of and every strength of every cornerback in this league. So just being around him and see how he goes about his business as a veteran who's had success in this year has to rub off. I mean, it doesn't have to be an outwardly going mentorship, but saying, hey, this is how this guy works. Okay, I know I could pick up this, and this from this guy. So I think he'll be he can still play too, even though
that's what I was going to say. It's just it's a major upgrade. No offense to Dante Jackson, who, like we talked about yesterday, was a bit of a ball hawk, especially early in the year. But it's a big upgrade, in my opinion, on Dante Jackson to Darius Slay. DK Metcalf, you mentioned him sort of buttering up Pickens, right? That's going to be interesting to see how that goes. I think it's a good thing for George Pickens to have DK Metcalf in the fold.
Would you say butter? I'm just saying he didn't want to start any headlines quite yet. Oh, George needs advice from this guy, you know. So I think it was more massaging. Hey, I don't want to come off.
Fair. Buttering up makes it sound like he's trying to get something out of George, which I don't think he is, obviously. He just wants to start the relationship off on the right foot. So that's a good point by you. The thing that jumped out to me and jumped out to a lot of people when DK Metcalf was asked about extending the contract here for as long as he did, 5 years as a Pittsburgh Steeler, the largest non-quarterback contract in Pittsburgh Steelers history. He said, what made him feel comfortable? He was asked what made him feel comfortable in doing that. And he said, they made me feel like they had the right decision with who was going to be throwing me the football. And everybody instantly sat up straight and went, ooh, yeah, what? I mean, DK knows who the quarterback's going to be?
I think we know. I think we all know it's going to be X or A or B, right? But they are obviously they told him. I mean, you don't sign here and come in here blind. I mean, what good is it? I know the $30 million has a lot to do about it. Let's not kid ourselves here. But once you get past, okay, how much you pay me? Now, the next thing is I want to be successful. How do I be successful? Who's throwing me the doggone ball? And, of course, they say this is our plan. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind they told him the plan, and they told him the plan. And I would assume it's, hey, it's Aaron, it's Russ. Then if not, they probably didn't even go. They probably didn't even go to part B, part C on that one.
Yeah, you're right. They probably said, hey, we'd like to get Aaron in here. If it doesn't work out, at the very least, we'll have Russ. And DK having a history with Russ, I think the best statistical year of his career to this point was with Russ as the quarterback. I think more than half of his receiving touchdowns in his career, a lot more than half, have been from Russell Wilson. He's probably very comfortable that it'll either be a future Hall of Famer, four-time MVP, even if he's on his last legs, or the guy he was comfortable with 4 or 5 years ago in Seattle. Fair.
True. Malik Harrison. He might be a low-key guy. I mean, he's a guy that's been nothing but associated with winners out of 4 of his 5 years. He's a big guy, downhill guy, plays a ton of special teams. That's not a guy that's going to jump off the board at you, but he's a guy that you need to be successful in this league. Plus, once they went to him, I think to him last year, I think he didn't start until maybe the second half of the season. I might not be correct on this, is when they started playing better defense. So maybe one of those low-key guys you need.
I was going to say some of Landon Roberts energy there, since we were all kind of disappointed that E-Rob left.
Yeah, he's just younger, bigger, stronger. I don't know about meaner, because Landon was a
could be mean
guy, but he could be mean between the lines.
On the field, yeah.
I would love to have brought Landon back, but I could see their thought of having a guy who can play multiple positions. I think he can also play outside in a pinch. And the special teams aspect of it's huge as well, along with Brandon Echols.
Brandon Echols.
Special teams can play some slot. just a guy that you can fill in a bunch of different spots.
Yeah, they did. Again, other than the quarterback thing, which is massive, it's like saying, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? Other than the quarterback thing, they've done a good job, I think, addressing most of the major positions that needed to be addressed on the roster. Yeah. Defensive line. And, you know, quarterback, but clearly they're going to go into the draft with defensive line as a priority, unless something weird shakes out in the next month. And
you know what they could do, and we don't even talk about it. I don't know. I mean, they could move the Benton to the outside and get a veteran nose in there. I mean, a nose or a younger nose. I mean, if you get a younger nose, you're playing mostly nickel anyway, so you're not going to need – knows that much to play, or Benton can move outside, but then you know Benton's going to have to take a huge jump forward. That all also could be the plan as well. I mean, if you get a young guy, he can come in there and play 15, 20 snaps just to plug things up as well. So, plus, there's a lot of veteran big guys out there.
Before we wrap up, a couple people have mentioned it, and I mentioned it earlier while you had me muted and weren't paying attention to a word I was saying. Mason wants to know if there's a Kyle Juszczyk update. Kyle Juszczyk is the most, that is the most Pittsburgh last name in the history of football, by the way.
I can't wait. I mean, I haven't heard, but you know, the Yinzers say his name.
Juszczyk.
You know, the great thing is my spell check already
knows it.
Thank God, because I would have.
Can you spell it without looking? Spell it right now without looking.
The J-U-S and the C, maybe Z-Y. I have no idea.
You were really close. You missed the first Z, but you were almost there. J-U-S-Z-C-Z-Y-K.
Ponies Burner says Benton is no Casey Hampton in the messages. I'm not saying that. Benton, I think, is going to move outside.
Yeah, no one's Casey Hampton either. Like, Hamp was...
Shit, man. Shit, man. I love it. Benji was asking him a question one time, big, long question. He goes, shit, man. My job's not that hard. I go left or I go right.
He was the best. He has lost a ton of weight, by the way. Have you seen him lately? I talked to him last year, and he's lost a ton of weight.
Great guy. Here's some good guys back.
Every single dude on that defense back in the day. I don't know if you remember, was it last fall? I guess it would have been like 15, 16 months ago. I did that podcast series on the 15th anniversary of the Super Bowl 43 defense. Every single one of those dudes was awesome. Every single one of them.
What was that series called?
Oh, Mama.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, Mama. The esteemed Nancy Rich in sales at Odyssey Pittsburgh.
Well, Nancy, good
she's
job.
Good. She's good at coming up with names like that. But anyway, so every single one of those dudes, even if I wasn't able to schedule a time to talk to them, to have them on the show, was awesome. Like, I still text Ryan Clark occasionally about stuff because they're just all good dudes. Like, people don't like Ryan Clark for whatever reason. They've all been super, super kind to people that know them as Pittsburgh Steelers for life, for lack of a better way to put it.
Yeah, Ryan's helped me out a bunch. I text him back and forth. Maybe I think he went on after DeMar Hamlin got injured.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did a really good job.
So yeah, he did a great job. That night,
you told him that or not something, you know. So those guys are good. I mean, once again, people, I tweeted this yesterday, one of my Confucianisms.
After you had a Mike Tyson handful of mushrooms and you started thinking next level.
It's true. I mean, some of the best people you ever met, people told you they were shit.
Yeah.
Some of the shittiest people you met, people said they were good. You know, I tend to try to make that decision on my own.
Yeah. I mean, I've even seen people go from being what I thought were decent people to becoming enormous shitheads once I had to deal with them on a regular basis. So it happens, unfortunately. Maybe we're the shitheads and we just don't know it.
Well, I know you're a shithead. One guy just called you out on Twitter and you just ignored him.
What? Who did?
Ed Kozlowski. Here's another Yinzer name. Sorry, Ed. I butchered
your name. Ed Swilinski.
Where's the S at?
What?
Swinsky.
Swalinski. You grew up in the Mon Valley. If you can't say Swilinski or Juszczyk.
I understand that, but I mean, it would have been just easier, Ed, if they spelled your name with an S.
Kabali. I mean,
how do you know it's Swalinski?
That's going to do it for a Friday edition.
Oh, you don't know who you're not going to tell
no,
us.
No, what'd you say? I'm sorry. I missed it.
What'd you say? How do you know Ed Swalinski?
Ed is a phenomenal human being. Ed had the same brain surgery my son had a couple years ago, like a decade ago when it was still brand new.
So you were bouncing things off from me, helped you out through that.
He's amazing. He's one of the leaders of the Western Pennsylvania dystonia support group.
He helps us. Me feel like a clown ripping on Ed Swalinski's last name.
You did. I mean, this is what I mean. Yeah. Maybe we're the shitheads, Mark. Maybe we're the shitheads, and that's why we get along. But Ed's an awesome dude. He helps us organize the Dystonia Zoo Walk every year, every September, to raise money for the Dystonia Medical Research Foundation. All right.
Good show. Jeremy Piven, right?
Excellent show. Jeremy Piven. We talked DK Metcalf. We talked Aaron Rodgers wandering a beach somewhere in Southern California. We talked about Mike Tyson eating mushrooms with Jeremy Piven. That's about as good as a show gets, I think.
Yeah. All right. Big show on Friday. Jeremy, go check him out.
Go check out Jeremy. Yes. Next Friday night at the Byam, trustarts.org. To get your tickets here. I'll throw it up on the screen one more time.
He's in Cleveland. He's in Cleveland the night before, so don't hold that against him.
No, I mean, he's doing a tour. What do you want him to do? He's got to go to different places. He can't do a month's worth of shows in Pittsburgh. He's got to go to Cleveland and Columbus and Phoenix and Baltimore.
If you run into him and you mention the movie Lucas, he'll know that you're watching this show.
That's a pretty good point because no one else is bringing that up besides you.
I was watching Siskel and Ebert's review of Lucas, and Ebert loved it. Ebert loved it. Siskel was like,
"Where did you even find that? How deep down the YouTube rabbit hole did you have to dive to find Siskel and Ebert reviewing Lucas?"
I just typed in Lucas, and then Siskel and Ebert comes up. What a great show that was!
It was good. Especially, have you ever seen the outtakes of when they would argue with each other?
No.
Oh, go search for them. They're great. They get real pissed at each other. Oh, it's phenomenal.
You know what? I should have brought that up because weren't they Chicago guys?
They were Chicago guys, yeah. He blew it. Next time we talk to Jeremy, he said he's coming back on when The Performance, his movie, comes out later this year, which, by the way, the trailer looks incredible. All right, we're going to wrap it up. It's well over an hour now. Yes. I have things to do. You have things to do.
Actually, I don't have much to do. I already did it. Well, I might be talking to somebody up.
What? Who are you talking to?
I'm losing my connection.
Oh, you're breaking up all of a sudden. I can't hear you anymore. I'm going through a tunnel. All right. Have a good weekend, everybody. Don't forget, Heck Team Homes, HAECK, the Dan Heck Team, ready to help you buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. Maybe find your forever home, whatever it may be. And next Friday night, we'll see you down at the Byam for Jeremy Piven. Go get your tickets now. TrustArts.org. This has been another scintillating edition of Kabali and Mac. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube.